You're listening to Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno, supported by Homewatch Caregivers, whose mission is to preserve dignity, protect independence, and provide peace of mind for their clients and loved ones by providing exceptional home care.
97.9 FM WCHL is pleased to present Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno. Nicole has over 15 years of experience as a geriatric social worker and administrator, working in the long-term care industry to include skilled nursing care, Alzheimer's care, adult daycare, and home care. She also worked as a family caregiver. In addition, Nicole co-founded a nonprofit in the Triangle that specializes in support for caregivers. Now, Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno.
This is your host, Nicole Bruno of Caring Connections on WCHL. Today, I will be talking with John Gattelli, geriatric nurse practitioner at UNC Hospitals, about the role of the Geriatric Assessment Clinic. Welcome, John.
Thank you very much for having me.
This is going to be a great topic to talk about. It's been something we've been wanting to talk about for a while now, so we're so happy that you were able to carve out some time in your very busy schedule to be with us today. Thank you.
Of course.
Okay, so you brought with you some of the top 10 things that people don't know, and they probably should, and I thought I just would highlight a couple of them, and if you have anything further to say, certainly fill in. I thought this was a really good one. Aging is not necessarily associated with diminished activity or rest. Many seniors in their 80s and 90s are very active and fit.
So, yes, and, you know, I like to bring that up because I think as healthcare providers, doctors, nurses, physical therapists, occupational therapists,
sure.
and such, we are used to seeing patients that come to us in the time of need,
families, that crisis mode.
When they're sick, when something's going wrong.
Yeah.
And that is certainly not the case. I'm reminded, and the name slips me, unfortunately.
Sure.
But he just completed his last marathon. But the 100-year-old man from India.
Oh, I heard about that. Yeah.
He started running marathons at the young age of, I believe, 88 or 89.
Wow.
He decided that he wanted to run marathons.
Amazing.
So that's an extreme example.
Sure.
But it just goes to show you that age in and of itself is not necessarily a predictor of your decline. Completing a marathon for a 22-year-old is quite a feat, never mind.
I don't think I could do it. So.
At that age. So I use those, sometimes I use those as just as neat examples.
Wonderful. The next one I thought I would bring up was that some short-term memory loss can be expected with aging. And I think a lot of people sound the alarms when they experience any sort of lapse in their memory, especially since Alzheimer's and dementia are just such hot buttons right now.
Good point. That's a very good point. And by all means, any memory loss, change in the way you think, change in maybe the way you're speaking should be brought to the attention of a medical professional. That's certainly appropriate. The key in an examination is to help differentiate what is some normal short-term memory loss, which we can associate with aging. That's those things with, where did I leave my keys?
Uh-huh.
I just met that person 2-3 minutes ago and I forgot their name. Now, there's a big difference between that and then actually...
Gosh, I do that.
Exactly. So that can be kind of personality driven, but it does somewhat increase with age.
Sure.
But that's different than the memory loss that's associated with the neurodegenerative diseases or what we call the dementias. The memory loss associated with that is forgetting where you are.
Yeah.
Forgetting the year.
And wouldn't you, that forgetting the person's name, you know, you and I just met a few moments ago, and if I saw you down the street, hopefully I'd still remember you were having a meaningful conversation. But the difference might be, to me, is I remember that I've met you, I just can't remember your name. Where
Correct.
Maybe if you had dementia, you might not even remember that we met.
Correct. Or you also forget your spouse's name or your children's name, which generally... a healthy brain, that's not going to happen.
Sure. Great. Okay. So the UNC Geriatric Assessment Clinics, or any geriatric assessment clinic, what exactly is a geriatric assessment?
So great question. So in geriatrics, the reason why we have a geriatric assessment clinic is that geriatrics tries to approach the patient and family from terms that we use, holistic approach or a multidimensional approach, in that we understand that health and function in the older age has a lot of different components.
Sure.
So basic derangement of physiology is not necessarily just one of them. So just treating high blood pressure, just treating diabetes, just treating heart failure in a 90-year-old may not provide the most comprehensive care. So we need a clinic where a social worker can meet with the patient and family, where a pharmacist can meet with the patient and family to look over any interacting medicines, where a physical therapist can look at gait and balance and see if improvement can be made that way. Because if you just focus on the disease process per se, you may not help really maximize that person's quality of life. And the geriatric assessment clinic tries to accomplish that through the use of extended visits and the use of multidisciplines. So the disciplines I mentioned.
So would you venture to say that a geriatric assessment would probably be a good idea for any older adult? Or is it typically somebody who has a chronic condition?
So that's a great question. Generally, it's probably going to best benefit the person that has a chronic condition. I would say age in and of itself. We in geriatrics, we try to get away with age in and of itself as because age in and of itself as a number may not actually reflect what it all is going on. There are, there are certainly, as I alluded to previously, there are certainly plenty of 80, 90-year-olds doing just fine in their life. They're very happy with their life. They're functioning at the level they want to. Whereas there are some 50-year-olds, say, that, that are having a lot more problems. So we don't necessarily use age per se, but you mentioned chronic conditions. So certainly, if, you if you're in your 70s, 80s, 90s, you have high blood pressure that maybe is difficult to control, or perhaps the medicines are causing side effects that you just find intolerable and then you don't want to take the medicines. Your diabetes is getting a little more difficult to manage. A geriatric assessment clinic would be very appropriate. So it's not just necessarily...
So it's not a number. It's not just about the number. Not, it's about kind of all the different things going on in your life.
Kind of looking at your life and to see if, is this disease really interfering with how I want to
function.
Function day to day.
That quality of life.
Exactly.
So a geriatrician, that's a big word. What is a geriatrician?
Great question. So a geriatrician is a physician usually trained in the primary care field. So either an internal medicine physician or a family physician, where just like other subspecialties in medicine, they need after their residency, they need specialized training.
Okay.
And that usually is a geriatric fellowship done. UNC has a geriatric fellowship program, as do other major medical schools. And that fellowship program can range in time, depending on somebody's focus and interest, range in time from 1 year to, say, 4 years.
Okay.
If they want to do research, they can add on some time. So a geriatrician, like I'd mentioned, is an internal medicine or family physician who then goes on and completes a fellowship and then
specializes.
Takes, and then takes boards to become
So it's a board certified.
It's a board certified specialty. That's correct.
So now there's a geriatrician and a geriatric nurse practitioner. And when we get back from the break, we're going to hear a little bit more about exactly what you do in your role.
Great.
Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to take a short break and we will be right back.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on 97.9 FM WCHL, supported by Home Watch Caregivers. Now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back. This is Nicole Bruno, your host of Caring Connections on WCHL. And today I'm speaking with John Gattelli, who is a geriatric nurse practitioner at UNC Hospitals. And we are talking about the role of a geriatric assessment. And when we were right before the break, we were just talking about geriatricians. And John actually has a very specialized role as a geriatric nurse practitioner. And I have to say, I don't think I've ever heard of a geriatric nurse practitioner. I think this is wonderful. So tell us, what is this?
Sure. So a geriatric nurse practitioner is a nurse practitioner, and for the audience, a nurse practitioner is an RN who then has advanced training in some aspects of medicine, physical examination, diagnostic tests, being able to prescribe a medicine with the collaboration and supervision of a physician.
But it's different than a physician's assistant. You have a higher level of...
So
autonomy?
Not necessarily. It depends.
You can have
those
your own
laws.
Practice and different things like that.
In different states, you can. But generally, for all intents and purposes, a physician assistant, nurse practitioner function,
about
especially in North Carolina, function very similarly. And many of my colleagues are physician assistants, as are nurse practitioners, and we function in a very similar role.
Okay.
As nurse practitioners, we can specialize, though.
Oh, that's a difference. Okay.
Exactly. So, as a nurse practitioner, I was able to specialize in gerontology, where I was then able to learn about some of the normal physiology of aging and then some of the diseases that are associated with aging so that I could spend my career in that population and caring for them, caring for the elderly
awesome.
as a career choice. So
Wonderful.
That in collaboration with physicians and mm-hmm. ideally in collaboration with geriatricians, which is my current
great
job at UNC. We're lucky to have both a geriatric nurse practitioner myself and then the geriatric medicine team, which are the attending physicians are board certified geriatricians.
Wonderful. You're at the best of both worlds for sure. So if I, when should I think about referring my loved one to a geriatric clinic? I know we talked about I have a chronic condition. I mean, is this something that is covered by insurance? Is there an additional, you know, do you know how that works? Like, say I had Medicare or...
Great question. So at UNC, to my knowledge, it accepts all major insurances, including Medicare. Generally at the geriatric assessment clinic, you're referred there by your primary care doctor.
Okay. So you still maintain a primary then?
You do.
Okay.
Or you can make self-referrals as well.
Oh, okay.
And many times people are referred to the geriatric clinic for what we commonly call the geriatric syndromes.
Oh.
And a geriatric syndrome is what we've already been talking about a little bit. You just may not have used that term. A syndrome is not necessarily a singular diagnosis, but it encompasses many different facets.
Maybe have a little heart failure.
Of a condition. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
So the geriatric syndromes where many of people are familiar with are something like repetitive falls.
Okay.
Memory loss.
Okay.
Urinary incontinence.
Mm-hmm.
Gait instability.
Okay.
Those type of syndromes generally respond best to a multi-component mm-hmm. therapy where you are having a physician or nurse practitioner hone in on some of the medical issues involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're also having, say, a physical therapist work on aspects
the rest.
That can ameliorate that. Exactly. Social worker can become involved as well in terms of planning for care needs of somebody mm-hmm. with memory loss.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I mean by a syndrome.
Definitely.
And somebody, thus, an elderly individual that you may have noticed is suffering from one of these syndromes, they are very well served by a referral to the geriatric assessment clinic because they can have a whole team help address that, really focus in on that, and not necessarily just address the singular medical issues, such as hypertension or diabetes.
Right.
But they address the other issues that go along with that because it's very common for somebody that has diabetes, mm-hmm. they will also have urinary incontinence.
Sure.
They have, say, neuropathy from the diabetes, mm-hmm. and therefore they're more at risk for falling.
Right.
So they'll fall as well. So
interesting.
That kind of patient is very well addressed at the geriatric assessment clinic.
Great. Okay, so this is a good one. When am I considered geriatric?
I get that a lot.
Because, you know, I'm either old, I'm a senior, I'm aged. I mean, there's all kinds of names, and now I'm possibly a geriatric.
No, isn't it amazing? So it's interesting. So you know what? And there's no one specific definition.
Mm-hmm.
When Medicare was implemented,
the rules. Yes.
When Medicare was implemented, they chose the age of 65.
Mm.
And so many times the cutoff age of 65 will be used. And so for Medicare, when you qualify for Medicare, which is the government sponsored health insurance for the elderly,
mm-hmm.
65 is the magic number.
Okay.
That may change, obviously, depending on if legislation changes. But right now, that's the magic number.
I recently had a baby, my third baby, and it was a very funny experience because when I kept going to the doctor's appointments, I had the term advanced maternal age.
Yep.
So that was the first time I was considered old.
Right. So, well, now, having,
I guess it all depends on.
Having said that, there are geriatricians that will actually start looking at people in middle age because at age 45.
It's a precursor to what's to come,
because
I guess. Because
many of our behaviors and illnesses and challenges that we have at middle age are going to just be amplified as you get older.
Definitely. Oh, wow.
But that was a great question.
So my loved one may have been diagnosed with dementia, let's just say, and now seems to be very different than how they used to be. They get upset more. They seem like their personality have changed. Would this be a good referral to a geriatric assessment
clinic?
That'd be a
very appropriate referral, because many families are used to looking at or thinking or getting worried about dementia if their loved one has memory loss.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not used to some of the other things that may come along with dementia and or Alzheimer's disease. When I use the term dementia, that's the umbrella term.
Sure, yeah.
Alzheimer's disease happens to be one type
mm-hmm.
of dementia, probably the most common type that we diagnose currently.
Mm-hmm.
But especially in Alzheimer's disease, a change in personality can be noticed very early on and tends to be one of the diagnostic criteria used in mm-hmm. establishing that diagnosis. But it may not be thought of as a dementia to family mm-hmm. members who just notice somebody's personality changed compared to when they were, say, in their 30s or 40s.
Sure. So UNC is just full of so many resources. I know there's a memory disorders clinic, and now there's a geriatric clinic. Would a person with a dementia be best served at one or the other, or both, perhaps?
That's a great question. Sometimes both.
Okay.
The memory disorders clinic is going to help really focus and elucidate maybe those more difficult to diagnose mm-hmm. types of dementias or those cognitive impairments mm-hmm. that present very uniquely and in a challenging respect to their physician.
Okay.
Then perhaps the memory disorders clinic would be the place to start.
So we're going to take a quick break. This is Nicole Bruno with Caring Connections, and today I'm speaking with John Galletti, geriatric nurse practitioner at UNC Hospitals, and we're talking about the role of a geriatric assessment clinic and how it may help a loved one under your care. Thank you so much.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on 97.9 FM WCHL, supported by Home Watch Caregivers. Now, more of Caring Connections.
This is Nicole Bruno, your host of Caring Connections on WCHL, and I have the pleasure to be speaking with John Galletti, geriatric nurse practitioner at UNC Hospitals, and we are going to pick up right where we left off. We were talking about the role of the geriatric assessment clinic, and I think it would help our listening audience to have a better understanding of a typical person that you might see walking through the doors one day. Give us an example of somebody that you really feel like you've been able to help.
Sure. So I'm going to talk about the environment that I work in, which is in the hospital,
sure.
a little bit different than in the clinic. But in the hospital setting, a particular patient and family comes to mind. They brought in their loved one because they just could not stay awake. They were very, very somnolent, and they would be able to wake them up, but notice that their father just did not seem right in terms of being very sleepy, the slurred speech, and they're worried that they had a stroke,
mm-hmm.
father had a stroke. So came to UNC. Lo and behold, there was no evidence of a stroke, which mm-hmm. is good, but the somnolence still remained. And so with, you know, careful review of a medical history and an examination, it was found that there was which is very typical in geriatrics, a contributing factors that came into play. So there was a urinary tract infection mm-hmm. and infections, especially the urinary tract in the elderly, can present very differently than in a younger person. Mm-hmm. In a younger person, it might be discomfort on urination and mm-hmm. you get a fever and your white blood cell counts are high when the doctor examines your blood count. In the elderly, all those might be absent. You might just get this really sleepiness, this somnolence.
Wow.
So we found there was a urinary tract infection. And then we also found that because the patient was seeing different doctors for different specialties, there was an interaction of some of the medicines.
Ooh.
And so there was two things. If we just addressed the medicine interactions,
mm-hmm.
we might have improved something a little bit. But
we still would have that infection.
Still would have the infection. So this is the comprehensive approach that I had mentioned before. And we, by addressing the, looking at everything together, we were able to all of a sudden have the family say, wow, you know, dad is back to his normal self.
A simple fix, really.
And it's a fairly simple fix, but it presents a lot differently
yes.
than you may be used to. But that was a great example. And you know, their father was able to get back into the regular lifestyle and
wonderful
and with those types of interventions.
That's just great. So you did bring with you some resources that I wanted to mention. You highly recommend folks look at the National Alzheimer's Disease Association website.
Correct.
And then the UNC Geriatric Clinic. Could you tell us how to get a hold of?
Sure. So you can just dial 919
okay.
966-5945.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that is the direct number of the clinic, or probably best if you have a primary care doctor, you can make a referral that way. But you can call the clinic directly with that number that I gave.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show today.
Thank you. My pleasure as well.
This has been Nicole Bruno, your host of Caring Connections on WCHL, and I had the honor and pleasure to speak with John Catelli, the geriatric nurse practitioner at UNC Hospitals, and we discussed the role of the geriatric assessment clinic. And as always, you may email your caring questions to caring@1360wchl.com. Thanks so much and have a fabulous day.
The purpose of Caring Connections is to educate listeners to help improve the quality of life for families, for professional caregivers, as well as those people affected with Alzheimer's disease.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno is supported by Home Watch Caregivers. You can hear this and any other program of Caring Connections on WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. Be sure to email questions to caring@1360wchl.com. Caring Connections is a presentation of 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.